aren't we approaching the definition of a monopoly?
In my opinion, yes. Amazon is a online juggernaut monopoly. But he's on primetime TV, though, with Tucker Carlson. He's not going to say anything negative about Amazon. As soon as they find out who he is, they're like, eh, you're deleted, your account's gone.
Amazon decides what you charge for your products, and if you don't obey, they will shut you down in the most passive-aggressive corporate way. They just remove your buy box.
This is true. I sell my product on Amazon at a high price point, hence why I lose the buy box. I actually want people to buy my product from my other platform. I'm Matthew Fraser, and this is Amazon Ecom Secrets. I'll be sharing with you the secrets that helped me go from millions in debt to an eight-figure entrepreneur. If you're ready to escape the 9-to-5 and live life on your terms, let me show you the way. Hey guys, welcome to Amazon Ecom Secrets. My name is Matthew Fraser, and today's episode, we're going to be watching a video and getting my reaction to what is going on. I can see from the outset, from the screen, it's just about to roll. It's the first time I've seen this video. It's my good old friend, Tucker Carlson, one of my favorites. And I will say just from the outset too, Tucker, mate, what are you doing with that green tie against a blue gingham shirt? That's a big no-no. Some of his ties and shirts combinations are a bit questionable, but I don't know, maybe it's an American thing. But in any case, I love Tucker. Let's see what he's got to say.
Buying products on Amazon.com is a little bit like masturbation. Not everybody admits to it, but honestly, you suspect it's pretty common. It's just so easy. But what exactly does Amazon.com do? How did Jeff Bezos get so rich? The details are unknown to most people, even frequent users of the site. Well, a new documentary takes a closer look at what Amazon does, at its business practices, and what those practices do to the people who try to make a living selling their products on the site. The documentary is called Amazon, Market, Power, Monopoly. Okay. So the filmmakers interview Amazon sellers who say they're barely keeping their heads above water because of the company's policies.
Already, this is going to be interesting because, as you know, I'm an Amazon seller, been on Amazon space for now, since 2017. I have heard of questionable things happening in Amazon. I haven't been at the mercy perhaps of some of them, but let's see what he has to say.
Practices due to the people who try to make a living selling their products on the site. The documentary is called Amazon, Market, Power, Monopoly. So the filmmakers interview Amazon sellers who say they are barely keeping their heads above water because of the company's policies. And those policies tell them exactly how much they can charge for their own products. So take a look at this clip from the movie. It shows a German businessman who makes and sells children's beds and does nearly all of his business on Amazon.com. He says the company puts pressure on him to keep his prices low as possible to keep customers from buying that same product on another site such as eBay. If Amazon finds out that he's selling his products cheaper on another site like eBay, they will punish him by making his products very hard to find on Amazon. And they do this by taking away what is called his buy box.
This is true. Now, I will say this has happened to me. I wasn't so sure about what questionable things he was going to refer to, but this one, it has happened to me. I sell on multiple platforms, Amazon, eBay, Shopify. I advertise through Facebook and Google, and I sell on multiple platforms around the world, like a lot of multiple Amazon platforms and eBay. And yes, quite often, I will lose the buy box because I do sell the product elsewhere. Amazon do want me to sell, and it makes sense. I can understand. They're like, hey, you know, we're going to provide you this Amazon platform. We want you to sell your product at the cheapest possible price for the consumer, obviously. There's pros and cons, I guess. For starters, Amazon has a massive amount of customers coming to their platform. So, you know, you'd want to try and take advantage of that customer base by having a good price point. I'm talking in my product, the difference is $10 between one to the other, so $59 compared to $69. I sell my product on Amazon at a higher price point, hence why I lose the buy box, because I actually want people to buy my product from my other platform, which is actually my Shopify store, because then I don't pay a certain amount of fees. But look, I see where they're coming from. Let's keep listening to what Tucker has to say and see what they're going to say about this bed business.
What is called his buy box. The buy box is the area you click on the product page to make a purchase. If there's no buy box, customers tend to leave and buy it somewhere else. That sounds confusing. Watch the man demonstrate exactly how this is done.
His most important online shop window at Amazon, the so-called buy box, the framed box around the shopping cart field.
So this whole box here that's just called the buy box, and you can see the add to cart button here. And if I click on it now, then I have this in the shopping cart and I can buy the item.
But Marco Schock can also lose the buy box for his beds. For example, if his prices are not competitive.
That means for me, with buy box, I can sell. Without buy box, 95 to 99% of the sales are gone.
Who gets the buy box is decided by Amazon alone. Marco Schock shows us.
I'm going to change the price to 349 euros. And we will see that in about 15 minutes, the buy box here is gone.
And indeed, after 15 minutes, the buy box has disappeared. For customers, it now seems as if the item is not available at the moment.
In other words, Amazon decides what you charge for your products, and if you don't obey, they will shut you down, but in the most passive-aggressive corporate way. They just remove your buy box. It's fascinating, and there's a lot like that in this film. It goes on to follow the business of a man called Molson Hart. He's the CEO of an educational toy company that does most of its business on Amazon. The film crew was there when Hart learned that Amazon would once again raise its fees on him. So in order to turn a profit, he was forced to jack his prices. Watch.
We are probably going to have to raise prices.
Why? What's going on?
So what Amazon did is they increased all the fulfillment fees by about 5%. So if you look over here, we got an email. Shipping Brainflace is going to be 5% more expensive.
I just want to jump in here because look, Amazon's increased the fees, but this, I don't think, is directly because of Amazon, right? There's so much within the business context that I don't know if this guy knows about, and I'm not saying that, you know, Amazon could obviously absorb these fees in their profit margins, but, you know, they're obviously got to make a profit too because they're also a publicly traded company. But there's things like wages in Australia, you know, wages, superannuation, payroll tax, electricity, you know, obviously these huge warehouses in FBA, Amazon FBA, cost an absolute fortune to run and operate. So you've got all these costs. Now, and this all stems from just the economy as a whole. In Australia, we've got Albonomics here, kindly brought to you by Anthony Albanese. Prices have gone up, you know, 25% in some cases in the last 3 years on certain things. So that ultimately gets passed on. The problem with any type of business, and I'm in the same category as well, I haven't been able to put my prices up. And it's not because I haven't been able to, it just hasn't seemed to be, it'd be very hard for me to increase the price because it almost puts it at a point where it wouldn't make it right, I guess, for the consumer to pay that price. They might say, that's too much. This guy here selling these toy products would probably be in a very similar situation too. The difference with, I guess with his is he's got a range of toy products, which would be very, very hard to compete against other people because there'd be a shit ton of toy products probably very similar to his. So he puts his price up, he's now not competitive with the other seller. Now that would be, this is where it's very difficult when you're competing against Chinese manufacturers and Chinese sellers, because the Chinese aren't exactly known for increasing wages and paying superannuation. So this becomes the ultimate problem. We want to live in a country where we're paid a decent amount of money. We want to contribute towards our superannuation, which is actually dictated by the government. And I've got a whole other episode I could essentially do on why I think even the labor force should be more of a free market system. But anyway, in Australia, there's laws that tell me what I need to pay staff. Yeah, whether I like it or not. China, not so much. So therefore, they can make goods at a much cheaper price is what I'm getting at. So they will be able to undercut this guy because already we know he's in America. America's got sort of high wages compared to China. So he's put at a global disadvantage. So in a nutshell, before I continue, what I would say is you need to find products where you can compete on a global level. Maybe that's through some of the digital type products that I have mentioned in some of my other episodes before, such as Kindle books or YouTube channels, where you don't have an inventory that you have to manufacture or manage within your own country. It's all digital, which can then be outsourced. And this, I'm going to go in a rabbit hole now, but this goes back to having a global market of people. Now, if you're in a space where you can outsource things to foreigners, people in India, Pakistan, China, who are working on digital type things, whether it's content creation, etc., well, they're going to be cheaper, right? And so this comes back to then you're not going to give it to someone who's based in Australia, because it would be probably 20 times more expensive to get it done in Australia than it would be overseas. And considering all you have to use is the internet, it makes it unviable to use someone in Australia. And that becomes the downside of dictating from a government level what you need to pay someone within Australia. Okay, I hope that makes sense.
Now, the Texan has to recalculate.
In order to keep our profits at the same level, we're going to have to raise the price by, 50 cents. So maybe we're going to go to $17.99, up from $16.99.
The problem, if he increases on Amazon, he must also increase the prices of his products on eBay, Walmart, and even in his own web store, although they are not affected by the fee increase. If he doesn't do that, experience shows that he loses the buy box on Amazon.
Oh, so it's not really a free market tactic. If they're forcing you to raise your prices on other platforms, it's a monopoly tactic. And there's a difference. That's not the free market you just saw. That's how monopolies operate. Molson Hart knows that very well. He's lived it. He's the man you just saw in that clip, and he joins us now. Molson Hart, thanks for joining us. The clip we just played is a fair representation of your life as an Amazon seller.
Yeah, that's absolutely a fair representation of our life as an Amazon seller. If your products are cheaper off Amazon than they are on Amazon, then you lose all your sales on Amazon, which is a big problem for us because 90% of our sales come from Amazon.
So what you're saying, I think, is that Amazon sets the price market-wide, not just on its own site, but on other sites. So is that correct?
In a way, that's true, right? So if you look at the statistics, and a lot of people have a different statistics out there, Amazon controls roughly 50% of the whole online e-commerce market, depending on how you calculate it. And for us, since 90% of our sales come from Amazon, and since Amazon is more expensive to sell on than other platforms like eBay, Walmart, or even our own website, Amazon, in a way, kind of does set the price. Because if we price our products lower off of Amazon, because those off Amazon platforms are cheaper than Amazon, we lose 90% of our sales on Amazon. So we have to constantly keep our prices up off Amazon. And we can't lower our prices on Amazon to the costs off Amazon, because then we'll end up losing money.
And this becomes a problem with, I guess, operating on a big platform like Amazon. Yes, I see what the guy's saying about, it's a monopoly. The alternative is don't sell on Amazon. Now, the problem with saying that is that Amazon, like you just said, is 50% of the marketplace, the online marketplace, combined with everything else combined, and then there's Amazon, right? Everything like eBay, Walmart, Shopify, websites is 50% here, and then there's Amazon alone 50%. And so you could potentially be missing out on a lot of sales. But, if you don't like the system, don't be part of the system. No one's forcing anybody to go and be on Amazon. So I always say this, guys, I'm not married to Amazon. I'm just married to the platforms that will help me make sales, whether that's Amazon or not, okay? In my experience, Amazon has been a huge success for me, and I've done millions and millions of dollars on Amazon. So you just have to do your own numbers. But let's keep seeing what else he has to say.
Funny, because Amazon is more expensive to sell on than it is to sell on off Amazon.
It's fascinating.
Thanks for watching the episode with Molson Hart. It gives you a sense of what Amazon is really like, worse than you thought. So if you don't want to use Amazon, and up till now you haven't had much of a choice because it's effectively a monopoly, well, now you don't have to, because there's an option. A new service made for you. It's called Public Square, and they're building a brand new way of conducting commerce.
This actually just led right into the, Tucker talking about Public Square, exactly what I was talking about before, which was you don't have to be on Amazon, but what is the alternative? Well, interesting. Now Tucker's talking about this new platform called Public Square. Now, it sounds good in theory. I mean, there's already other platforms you can use, such as eBay, such as Walmart, right, or your own website. But this is the problem. Are there going to be people, as in consumers, coming to Public Square to shop? So unless Public Square becomes the dominant place where people can go to shop, then there's going to no point, right? Because you're going to have to either stay on Amazon or stick to your traditional digital platforms now, like eBay. But let's see how Public Square goes. I've never even heard of Public Square. That's the first time I've heard of it right now from Tucker's mouth. So let's see how they go. I tell you, I would definitely like to use a different platform. And I guess the way they're going to get sellers like myself onto that platform is to have cheaper fees than what Amazon provide. Let's see if they do that.
The primary way they do it is basically by using an algorithm that just like scrapes the entire internet, looking at prices on Walmart, looking at prices on eBay. And in the video that you showed in the documentary, that's how Amazon was able to shut down that person's product so fast, within 15 minutes. So the algorithm is kind of like monitoring the whole internet to see if prices are higher or lower on and off Amazon. And it might also be possible there used to be like a button on pages on Amazon where consumers could report like a better price elsewhere. So there might be like a human component as well, but it's mainly just an algorithm where they're watching prices on and off Amazon.
I'm going to stop it here. There is possibly a way around this issue, because the only way Amazon's going to know if you're selling that exact product on another platform is through some of the data that's on there. For example, barcoding. So there is potentially a way for you to have your product differentiated through the barcode. So you have one barcode you're selling on eBay at a certain price. I use a different barcode, same product though, on Amazon. And I wonder if that would trick the algorithm into thinking it's a different product and then not matching them together to then shut you down potentially through the buy box. Because theoretically, the barcode that you're using for Amazon would only be used for Amazon, and therefore it couldn't be matched with any other product, and therefore you would always have a buy box. Let me know in the comments if that is something that you guys do if you're watching this. I'd love to know what you think. Is it even possible?
But they know when you've been sleeping, they know when you're awake. I mean, it's like they're part of the surveillance data. I mean, you wouldn't imagine, because you're selling on Amazon, that Amazon would be watching your behavior in other places, right?
Yeah, to my mind, it's totally unnecessary, and there's no need for this policy. They used to contractually enforce this. So there used to be a line in the contract that sellers signed with Amazon that would say that you would not sell your products for less off Amazon. And then there was like kind of like a regulatory kerfuffle in Europe, and they ended up removing that from their contracts, but then they maintained the policy algorithmically. And in 2019, I wrote an article about it, and I can kind of explain why it's so hard to get these kind of narratives about Amazon. But I wrote an article about it, and that article ended up getting wrapped up into like an FTC lawsuit, the state of California versus Amazon. And that's why we're talking about it today.
Just back up a sentence, if you would. What do you mean it's so hard to get that story out?
So, like, as I said, right, 90% of our sales come from Amazon.
Right.
And no one in their right mind like wants to bite the hand that feeds them, right? So
right.
The people who know most about Amazon are the sellers who are selling on Amazon, like my company, right? And so when people speak up, you're taking some risk. I try to be fair, regardless of whether or not I'm being critical of their policies. I think they're a good company with great people with some bad policies, right? So don't want to bite the hand that feeds you. And then the second thing is my company, you know, all companies that sell on Amazon, they sign a contract that says that, you know, you're not going to make public statements about Amazon. You're not going to speak to the press without express written permission from Amazon, right? So those are two reasons for the people who know most about Amazon to not speak about Amazon. And then you also have to remember that Amazon is like really big in the documentary media space, because Amazon has its own Netflix, right? They have Prime Video, they have their own Hulu.
Yeah.
So if you want to make a documentary about Amazon, you have to like think carefully about, you know, what's that going to do to your career going forward. I'm not saying Amazon does this, but you know, you may not be able to sell a film or documentary to Amazon in the future. And so, you know, those are the reasons why it's kind of hard to get this information out there.
How long do you think before they get their own defense department?
Defense department, like the Department of Defense, or like
yeah,
lawyers?
Yeah, I mean, you're You're describing a company that's a lot, and of course we all sort of know this on some level, but that's a lot more powerful and a lot more willing to flex its power than maybe some of us imagined just 10 years ago.
We can guarantee that Amazon has a massive legal team. And you know what? He talked about then about, you know, you've signed this waiver to say you're not going to say anything. I've never even seen that because, like most sellers, the document that you have to tick to say you agree with is about 3 bazillion pages of like legal jargon. And essentially what you're saying is, yes, I'm happy to sell on this platform, and anything you do against this platform, then, you know, you're out. You know, make sure you pay your fees and what have you. So again, Amazon's not forcing people to be on their platform, but what I would really strongly do, and it has been a bit of a minefield for myself as well, navigating some of the policies regarding, particularly in my space, which is healthcare space. And don't forget too, Amazon also changed their policies ongoing. So here's just a quick example. Someone who I used to work with, who was in my mastermind, former mastermind, had a product on Amazon, and she said that her product had no pesticides, but the algorithm picked it up as having pesticides, even though she'd written no pesticides. So she was banned. Her listing was taken down. It went through. It was at least 6 months of backwards and forwards with Amazon to try and get it resolved before her product and listing got back live again, but pretty much just completely deflated her. So those are some of the issues that pop up. I've had multiple suspensions myself from various different things. But I tell you what, you've got to just keep pushing through and find ways around policies. And I guess talk to people like myself who have done it before, because we can share some of that insight if that's something that you're going to do. All right. But if you've got some insight yourself about some tricks that you've been able to pull on Amazon, put them in the comments below. I'd love to know what you're doing. And I promise I won't tell Amazon.
Oh, you never know where these things are going, Molson Hart. But I just wonder, since you obviously you've thought about this in larger terms because you've been involved or witness to these lawsuits. Mm-hmm. I mean, aren't we approaching the definition of a monopoly? So a business is something that controls its silo, you know, where it operates. A monopoly is a business that controls an entire market. And kind of what you're describing is a company that controls online commerce, the pricing.
Before he says his answer, I want to give my response to Tucker's question, which is that, in my opinion, yes, Amazon is a online juggernaut monopoly. But there's so many things in this world, including the taxation system, the government, all three levels of government that have restrictions, taxes, laws, bylaws, compliance, banking. The compliance in banking is outrageous. And the only thing I feel that we can do as little tiny sheeples in this whole system is to navigate the system as best we can. For example, I use an accountant so that I can navigate the taxation system and pay as little tax as legally possible in this system. I'm currently investing in a lot of Bitcoin because, in my opinion, Bitcoin is outside the system and I want to play outside of this system. But unfortunately, as the sheeples that we are, and I say that tongue in cheek, we're trying not to be, but we've got to play within the framework that we're born into. But we do our best to try and navigate through it, around it. And as I always say, Amazon is a platform to be used at your discretion. If you can, just use the system to make profit and then get out. That's my 2 cents on this matter. We're trying to do the best we can, but we're also trying to get out of the matrix. All right, let's see what his response is. Let's see, does he think it's a monopoly? I bet he says it is.
Amazon, with its weight and the way that they keep on jamming fees down sellers' throats, and this isn't just about me as someone who sells on Amazon complaining about Amazon's fees. Like, these fees end up becoming higher prices for you if you shop on Amazon. Right. I don't want to say that they control pricing on the entire American internet or the countries where they operate, but, you know, they're pretty you know, they have a lot of weight when it comes to where prices are. In terms of whether or not they're a monopoly, you know, that's not for me to decide. That's for the courts to decide.
And
like I said before, I sincerely, not just saying.
He's on primetime TV, though, with Tucker Carlson. He's not going to say anything negative about Amazon, right? Because they're obviously watching this show. And as soon as they find out who he is, they're like, eh, you deleted, your account's gone. Sorry. Sorry, there was a glitch. 20 years later, still haven't fixed it. We're looking into it. So he's playing it cool.
In it because I don't want to get smacked by Amazon. I mean, I don't. But they are a good company, and they have great people. But
Amazon's got great people. They're amazing. They're an amazing company, but they suck. They suck in there. And they're not a monopoly. Okay. All right, look, the poor guy, there's probably a gun that's literally just off stage that is just pointing to his head, and it says, that's a nice suit. Sure, it'd be a shame to get blood all over it. That's a nice Amazon account you got there where you're making, $1 million a year. Sure, it'd be bad if something algorithmic, technical happened to that.
Some bad policies, and I think the best outcome would be for them to, stop with the bad policies.
But Amazon's got nice people.
I wrote an open letter to Jeff Bezos on Twitter. It got some play. I think he read it because he's responded to me on Twitter before, or X, I should say. I think it would just be better if they ended the bad policies rather than, potentially being broken up or something like that. But again, that's not really for me to decide.
Well, they're not going to. I mean, he owns the Washington Post, which is the main news source in the capital city. So I don't think they're going to be broken up anytime soon. And I suspect the Post would editorialize against that if it came down to it. So let me just say.
Mental note, must own my own newspaper.
Ask you, since it's your business, since you're in this business, who makes money selling at Amazon?
Amazon?
Yeah.
For us, right? So we have one of our best sellers is Brain Flakes. I got my prop. It's $17, okay?
Right.
On Amazon right now. And after all the fees are paid, we get $7.
I'm going to stop interject on this dude right now. I would never let any of my students sell a product on Amazon for $17, right? Because I know he's going to say $17, he's got his cost of goods, then he's got his shipping, then he's got the Amazon fees, then he's got to do advertising. Yeah, he hasn't got enough fat in it to make money. In my case, I had enough fat in my product to make money. So I hate to say it, but from a business point of view, he's actually just chosen the wrong product. If this is what he's going to say, I guarantee he's going to say he's hardly making any money. Let's see what he says.
Out of the $17. Okay, so it's $70 on Amazon. After the fees are paid, we receive $7. With that $7, we have to pay rent, insurance, all employees, and then we also have to pay for the cost of the product.
Wait.
He's saying he's made a $7 gross profit, which would be totally fine if he could sell 10,000 of those a day, right? $7 times 10,000, $70,000 a day profit. Then he can take away his wages and his warehouse or whatever else he's paying. Totally fine. Let me say this. If you're selling something for $3 and you can say, yeah, but I've got a 50% profit margin, you've only got $1.50 profit margin, which is nothing, okay? So the dollar amount needs to be also substantial plus the turnover. Now, his problem is that he's got what I would call a small dollar amount profit margin, and he's not got the volume, right? Because like I said, if he was selling 10,000 a day, even if he was selling 1,000 a day, we're talking $7,000 a day profit. But obviously, he can't get the volume on that type of product. And it's not probably, I would say, it's not because of Amazon's fault. It's just that type of product doesn't demand that type of volume. So he needs to choose a better product with higher margin, well, not even higher margin, even the same margin, higher price point to give him a higher dollar profit, and also a product that's perhaps in higher demand as well, okay? Or he perhaps needs to cut back on his costs. I mean, I actually don't even have my own warehouses. That's why I use Amazon warehouses, so I don't have to pay for my own rent. I don't even have really staff, to be honest. He's talking about he's got staff and all sorts of things. So, even as my sales increased to, millions and millions a month I was doing in revenue,
I didn't increase my overheads. I didn't go and get a warehouse and get staff and, you know, all that sort of stuff. I kept it really thin. So no matter where my sales are, my bottom line or my overheads are very low, right? I didn't increase my overheads just because my sales increased. So when it does decrease, you're all good. And in this case, even if his profit margin decreases because Amazon's increasing his fees, he wouldn't really get in the shit. But in this case, he is. So my point is that I don't know who trained this guy, but maybe he wasn't that good.
Wait, so the $10 you're subtracting from the 17 does not include your manufacturing costs or?
Correct. Yeah, so you start at 17, 10 of those dollars, and I can run through the fees.
Would you mind? Well, because that's a crazy number.
Yeah, let's do it.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, do you want me to break down how
would you
we
mind?
Get to
yes.
That
I mean, wait, hold on. Yeah, I'm a little bit surprised. I mean, I thought they took a VIG of some kind, and they should. They're selling your product for you. That's great.
Mm-hmm.
But the fact that they would take the majority of the retail price is stunning to me.
Well, it's more than the majority. And you have to remember that we are not selling to Amazon. We are selling on Amazon. So all the risk is with us. If the product doesn't sell, Amazon has no risk. They can actually just continue to charge us fees. Not only that, they'll charge us like extra double fees for having too much inventory at Amazon. So yeah, at the risk of embarrassing myself on your show, I will attempt to do some math and I'll tell you how we go from $17 down
yes,
to $7 all
I would
the way
love
down
that.
To our profit. Yeah, let's do it.
Here we go.
All right, so $17. First, in our category, in toys, Amazon charges 15%.
That's right.
Okay, so that's... So let's call that around $250. Okay, so 15% of $17. So now I'm down to $14.50. Okay, then we have to pay a fulfillment fee to Amazon. That's around $6.60. So I think about $14.50. So that gets me to That gets me to $7.90. Okay, so just those two things, the 15% commission and then the $6.60. Fulfillment fee that Amazon charges, I believe, got me down to I'm embarrassing myself, but something like the high sevens.
Yeah.
And then we have to pay advertising and storage and shipping to Amazon.
Wrong product.
And that gets us down to around $7.
That's it.
Okay. So we receive $7 when...
Which part of this... I hope that when he watches this back, he listens to his own numbers and then says, hang on a second, I'll have to wait and see what he says at the end here, but I've got next to no profit because the fees for selling this product. Now, here's the flip side. Let's say he doesn't want to sell on Amazon because the fees are too much. He still can go and have his product in a fulfillment center, different fulfillment center, and have his own website and make sales. Or even if he had his stock at his warehouse and shipped it from his warehouse, he would still have the fees. He's still got a fulfillment fee. So it's going to cost money for someone to go in and pick the product off his own shelf and put it into a package. The package itself also costs money. Then you have to ship it. That costs money. Like Australia Post, for example, it isn't free. So all these extra costs is basically what he would have to pay pretty much anyway, pretty much. Okay, give or take. The point is, I just don't think he's got the right product still. Let's see what else he has to say. See if he embarrasses himself anymore.
One jar of brain flakes is sold. And with that $7, we have to pay our rent, our employees' salaries, our insurance. We even have to pay for, we have to insure Amazon as well, okay? Mm. And then we have to pay for the cost of the product, which is like, let's say $350. So on the $17, we'll make, depending on what our costs are, because costs go up and down, between $3 to $4. So our profit is about $3 to $4 out of the $17.
Right, so he said originally that his GP was $7, so his gross profit, his net profit is, let's say, best case, $4. So he would still have to sell, you know, 1,000 units a day pretty much to make it even worthwhile doing. You could even argue, rather than him making $4,000 net profit a day, even if he made $2,000 net profit a day, times by 30, there's $60,000 net profit, which would be pretty good for most people. And, you know, I'd be happy with an extra $60,000 a month coming through the door, but I guarantee you he can't get the volume on this product. Hence why he might be selling, let's say, 10 to 20 units a day.
right? And so it's very, very tiny where he's got a, you know, so it's not really life-changing, put it that way. So it still comes down to the product itself, and I'll be picking a different product.
And there are like all sorts of crazy fees that I could walk you through. It's wild.
That is amazing. That's not at all what I imagined at all. So the strong majority goes to Amazon right off the top.
And the other thing he mentioned too was about insurance. It was like, oh, you know, we've got to pay Amazon's insurance. Well, that's not really true. I mean, I pay insurance on my business. You could take the choice. I could just say, look, I'm not insuring my product against, you know, consumers suing me, for example, right? Do you want to take that chance? Now, what Amazon say is you have to have insurance, which is pretty much mandated in most things anyway. You know, so you could run the risk and not have insurance in your own business, but if you're going to have it on Amazon, yes, you're going to have insurance. But you're not paying for Amazon's insurance, essentially, because you would have it anyway. But I do admit Amazon does get you to put them in your insurance policy as a beneficiary of the insurance fund. Whether you had them in there or not, it'd be pretty much the same price.
So then how could you make a living doing it? I mean, how many brain flakes do you have to sell?
Here we go.
To like take exactly. A week off and go to Disney World in August.
Disney World's pretty expensive.
Yeah, but, it is.
You know, we're lucky to sell hundreds of thousands of jars of brain flakes and bigger sets. And so if we're making $3 to $4 a jar or whatever, you know, and if you sell $100,000, you do have money to pay salaries and rent and all that stuff. And you can maybe go to Disneyland once every 2 years, I would say.
Does anyone get rich selling, that you know of, get rich selling on Amazon?
Yeah, people still do get rich. I think a lot of Chinese companies have gotten rich as well. Pretty crazy statistic for you. Over 50% of the top sellers on Amazon are not American, okay?
So, Australian.
So in the US marketplace, like let's say 52% of the sellers are non-American. And of that 52%, the top sellers are, of that 52%, they're predominantly Chinese.
Yeah, they're definitely Chinese. Let me tell you about that, because what's happened is originally, the Chinese aren't stupid. They're manufacturing these goods. Those goods that he sells, I guarantee you are made in China in some factory, right? So here's the thing though, years ago, the Chinese manufacturers were, hey, we just manufacture goods and we then sell them to foreigners and they go and sell it, right? And they were selling it at like super, super cheap prices. But then as the world became more globalized and the internet spread around the world, it was easy now for even a Chinese manufacturer to simply put up a listing on Amazon USA. Now it's costing him, like in this case, he's selling that brain flakes to this dude for $3, $3 or $4, right? The Chinese guy is probably only costing him like $1 or $2 to make. So he can now, that's now his cost of goods for the manufacturer, $1 or $2. So he's already up on this guy. And now he can ship that into Amazon USA, sell it for even cheaper than what he can. And that's what happened to a lot of products, where you have competition now from Chinese manufacturers who are like, why are we going to sell it to this guy when we can just ship it in ourselves and make the sales, right? So that's the point. And of course, China doesn't have all the excessive employment laws like a place like America and even more Australia, who has the most barbaric and archaic laws in the world when it comes to industrial relations. It's absolutely insane and it's a minefield. And no wonder people don't want to really do a lot of manufacturing in Australia, because it's just too expensive for most things, right? There are cases where you can get it produced in Australia, as I did a video the other day, but for most things like those brain flakes, you wouldn't be able to make in Australia at all. Probably cost like $20 just to make a packet, you know, cost price. Anyway, let's keep going.
The Chinese sellers, even though we're selling in the United States, even though it's our country, we should understand how marketing works here. It's our language. They just clean up. They do very well in terms of market share. They don't all make money, but many of them do.
But I'm also glad that he touched on that, because I thought he was going to say, oh, nobody becomes rich from Amazon, which is not true, because case in point, I've done extremely well. And, you know, I can't knock Amazon, because I've become a multimillionaire off the back of the Amazon platform. But what was the key? It was I had the right product with the right margin, right? So I was able to utilize Amazon with all their crappy fees and all that sort of stuff because they also had the customer base where I can put the product in there and customers are going to come in there in droves and buy the product. So it, again, it comes down to the correct product choice.
It's still possible to make money on Amazon.
You're not even describing the source of manufacturing. I mean, I think the number would be a lot higher than 52% if you were measuring where the stuff was actually made. But you're talking about the sellers.
Yeah, that's such an excellent point. So if you go back to like the 1970s, 1980s, we had a lot of manufacturers in our country. We were making things.
He's probably going to say my exact point.
Shifted largely to China, some to Mexico, overseas generally. What's going on now is that the Chinese and other countries to some extent are kind of vertically integrating and they're taking over the product design and wholesaling and distribution that had traditionally has been in the United States.
Yep. Yeah.
So once upon a time, you know, you could buy from an American factory, okay? And the American factory would sell its product to an American store or whatever. And then we had this transitional period where Chinese factories were selling to distributors who were selling to stores or Chinese factories were selling to Target or whatever. What's happening now is the Chinese factories are selling directly on Amazon
to the consumer,
US consumer.
Thank you.
And the net result of this, because the playing field is in the Chinese favor, and I can kind of explain why, is that the US like wholesale distribution product design industry has come under threat from very tough, difficult competition from China. And so now, like, we lost our factories, and in my opinion, I think we're going to lose this middle part of our economy largely to companies in China.
Mm-hmm.
How does China?
I mean, the other thing too, right now you can jump onto, you might see it on Instagram, right? You're flicking through Instagram, you see a product, you buy it. It's sent directly from China, right? It's not coming from anywhere else. It's coming straight from the factory, right? So they're going direct now. They're even using social media, not even Amazon.
And they have a structural advantage in this.
So for one, these Chinese sellers, they're selling on Amazon. They don't have to file U.S. Income tax returns. They don't have to worry about estimated taxes. Like,
I mean, as an Australian seller, I also don't need to file income tax returns because I'm based in Australia. I pay Australian taxes, so the money that I make in America is shipped back to me in Australia and I pay taxes here.
They have lower costs and, you know, that's enough. They're less susceptible to lawsuits because they're overseas and it's just, you know, they may or may not have government subsidies or just like, I mean, think about it. If you want to design a new product, isn't it a lot easier to like go down the street to the factory and talk to the guy?
Well, that's, I'm going to pull him up there. Being in China as a communist country, they have a ton of government subsidies. That is the point, right? The government controls everything and they're just propping up businesses and what have you because it's going to make their economy stronger.
Guy worked that out, that it is to like communicate over video, fly to China, deal potentially with a quarantine and work that out in order to make something new. So the Chinese have a lot of advantages when it comes to selling on Amazon. And what's wild is like we're sellers on Amazon. Whenever we get an email from Amazon, like the top part, it's in English. And then like the bottom part, it's all in Chinese because so many sellers are Chinese on Amazon.
Amazing. Are you going to continue doing this?
Selling on Amazon?
Yeah.
As long as he's not banned. Or he ends up in a boot somewhere. Or some concrete shoes.
That it used to be 98%. Usually before 98% of our sales were on Amazon. We've gotten it down to 90%. And then in 2023, we've gotten it down a little bit lower. And so we're just continuously trying to reduce our dependence on Amazon. Mm-hmm. But it's so difficult in the toy space. It's hard, but like I like what I'm doing. I like my team and like it feels really good to like make something and then to make something that's like good for people, like, you know, helps spatial thinking. It's an educational toy. I want to keep doing it.
Last question, I can't resist. Is Molson Hart your real name?
No, it's a fake name. No, it's real. So
it's like the greatest name ever.
My brother's name is Hilton and the joke is he's where he was conceived and I'm why. My dad used to work for Molson Breweries up in Montreal, Canada, and he saw it fit to name me after the brewery, even though I'm unrelated. And my brother was, I can't believe it, he was conceived in a Hilton hotel.
Anyway, there we go. Let's wrap that one up. I think they're wrapping it up as well. The key thing here, guys, is do the right due diligence before you go onto Amazon. Don't just throw any old product in. You have to make sure your numbers are right. Otherwise, you're going to sink. You're not going to make any money. You're going to be out of there. All right, guys, thank you so much for tuning into this episode. Don't forget to leave some comments about what you thought of this video and how you are perhaps surviving or not surviving on Amazon. Or if there's another better platform, let me know. Take care. Thanks for tuning into Amazon Ecom Secrets. If you enjoyed this episode, the best way to show your support is to give a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts and Spotify, and make sure to subscribe on YouTube so you don't miss an episode. You can also find more at I'm Matthew Fraser on all social media platforms. Thanks so much. Take care.